You see people bring up toxic masculinity. And a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. Now, young guys, if you're listening up to Way of Manhood, be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortis Plus app to listen to these shows anytime. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review. Or if you're on Spotify, you could just tap a star rating. Guys, I'm starting a four-part series today talking about fighting the battle with God on your side. And we're going to be looking at the story of Micaiah out of 1 Kings chapter 22. But let me kick off the show today this way. You ever heard of John Huss? Quite a figure from just before the Protestant Reformation. He was born in Husinitz, Bohemia in 1372, and later studied theology at the University of Prague, where he became rector of that university in 1409. He had greatly been influenced by the writings and the teaching of John Wycliffe, who was known as the morning star of the Protestant Reformation. Huss, following the supreme example of Wycliffe and just the authority of the Bible, especially the Bible's authority being greater than that of the Roman Catholic Church, he really rejected the Roman Catholic Pope as having no authority over the true Christian church. John Huss believed that Scripture was the foremost authority in all church matters. He believed that there needed to be an extensive reform within Christendom to turn away from the corruption and the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church. He believed, John Huss believed, along with Wycliffe, that communion and the communion bread and wine did not become the actual body of Christ when the priest prayed over them. He further believed that everyone should have a copy of the Bible in their own language so they could read it and study it for themselves, and then they might become good Bereans to study the Word of God and not to be led astray. Huss preached his beliefs from the pulpit and at the university as well. He was then asked to recant his teachings, to which he replied, "I never taught any doctrine that was evil. Now what I have taught with my lips, I seal with my blood." So picture this, guys. John Huss is basically the OG protester, like the guy who could have started a viral hashtag if Twitter existed in the 1400s. He's out there saying, "The Bible's the real authority, not whoever's wearing the fanciest hat in Rome." Huss had that type of courage. He had that type of power, you know, just to say things with his words. He was the type to really drop a hot take in the group chat and then double down when everyone else gets mad. When they told him to take it back, he was like, "Nah, man, I said what I said. I'll even put my life on it," literally. Huss is also recorded saying, "Lord Jesus, it is for thee that I patiently endure this cruel death. I pay thee to have mercy on my enemies." But you know what, guys? It was too late. The Roman Catholic Church convicted Huss as a heretic and ordered that he be burned at the stake. And when the flames engulfed him, he began to sing a hymn so loud and cheerful that he could be heard above the crackling of the flames and the noise of the crowd. His remains, as John Wycliffe's, were gathered and cast into the Rhine River. However, they could not destroy his memory or his teachings from the minds of his supporters. In death, Huss became more of a threat to the papacy than he had been in his life. Here's my question to you today, guys. Where are the men with the conviction of John Huss? And where are those in this day that will not bow down, but will stand for Christ? My goal in this four-part series is to encourage your hearts and to challenge your resolve to stand steadfast in the midst of adversity, to be relentless in your pursuit of God's strength, and to be unwavering in your character because of the sufficient grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you stand for the Word of God, or will you waver with the world? I want to remind you, young man, that as a Christian, you are called to fight the battle for truth because God is on your side. and you are not to look to the polls or to the opinions of others, but to the one who is the very embodiment of truth. Your word should agree with his word, and your sword is his sword, the word of God. And so on this show, we're beginning a series about fighting the battle with God on your side. I want you to be men like John Huss. And so in this series, I'm going to teach you 5 strategic principles so that you will stand firm in the face of adversity. On today's show, we're just going to look at 1. Do not make an alliance with the enemy. Now, I told you, this is ultimately coming out of 1 Kings chapter 22. So I want to read to you the first 4 verses of 1 Kings 22. Here's what it says. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the 3rd year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? And we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go up with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, and my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Let me tell you what's going on here. There's basically a bad collaboration. Okay, let's talk about bad collaborations. You ever see a movie crossover that just didn't make sense? Like when Scooby-Doo teamed up with Batman, or when Fortnite added literally everyone from every universe, and somehow Ariana Grande ends up fighting Darth Vader with a pickaxe. Some team-ups just shouldn't happen. Partnerships matter. You who link up with those who you do could either make you better or they could sink you. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in 1 Kings 22, where King Jehoshaphat, a godly man, teams up with King Ahab, one of the most wicked men and one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. I mean, this is the ultimate unequally yoked partnership. At first glance, Jehoshaphat looks loyal, united, and noble. But this alliance would almost cost him his life. Jehoshaphat made the mistake of forming an alliance with someone who looked powerful, but he didn't walk with God. That's really a warning for all of us as young men to pay attention to here today. And notice how in verse 1, it says that it had been 3 years that had been gone past without any war between Aram and Israel. So let me just try to explain to you as simply as I can the background of what's going on here in 1 Kings 22, because it's mentioned here 3 different kings and their interactions and their relationships with each other. Okay, so just try to log this away in your mind. Here's what's going on. I want to make sure you get the context of these 3 kings of the Middle East. Okay, I'd like to begin with the king of Aram. It's also known here as the king of Syria. Aram and Syria are referring to the same area. And the name of this king is Ben-Hadad. Okay, so Aram was a territory in Syria, which is just northeast of Israel. And although he's not mentioned by name here in our chapter, 1 Kings 22, he is a part of the story and is mentioned by name in 1 Kings chapter 20 as Ben-Hadad. And so Ben-Hadad was the king of Aram. Long story short, Ahab had made an alliance with the enemy, and it would cost him his life. He had spared the life of this king, Ben-Hadad, and this man should have been killed because he was devoted to destruction according to the will of God, so that he could possess some buffer cities on his eastern flank to protect him from a suspected future invasion of the Assyrians. So here's the deal. Ahab tried to make friends with Ben-Hadad, the ultimate frenemy. He thought he would have some good connections, and this might even get him some perks, but it was more like acting like a follow request from someone who just wants to spam your DMs with scams. In the end, that alliance cost him everything, should have hit block. Okay, that's the first king, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. Okay, let's talk about the second king. The second king is King Ahab, or the king of Israel. Okay, and if you'll remember, this was during the divided kingdom, where Israel is a reference to those northern 10 tribes, while Judah would be a reference to Jerusalem and the 2 southern tribes. So Ahab had married wicked Jezebel, who was the daughter of the king of Tyre, and this was the beginning of a predominant influx of Baal worship in the land of Israel. In fact, it's only a few chapters earlier in 1 Kings 18 where the great contest between the 450 prophets of Baal and the one true prophet of God, Elijah, takes place all on top of Mount Carmel. Remember that? And so not long after this mighty display of power of the Lord of hosts was when Ahab disobeyed the Lord by allowing Ben-Hadad to live. And that's what 1 Kings 20 is all about. And then the chapter between chapter 20 and chapter 22, 1 Kings 21, there's a notorious story of the behavior of Jezebel, who, approved by Ahab, she killed Naboth and then confiscated his vineyard. So again, I'm just saying here, giving some context, Ahab had not only made an alliance with the enemy by letting Ben-Hadad go, but also by making an alliance with the king of Tyre by marrying his wicked daughter, Jezebel. And this leads us to our third king, King Jehoshaphat. Okay, King Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And this was by far the best of the three kings and certainly the only redeemed one. And Jehoshaphat followed the righteous example of David by forsaking the Baals, the kingdom, you know, that was chasing the false god Baal. He's forsaking these Baal gods, and faithfully he was serving the God of Israel. He had also sent Levites, the priests, into the cities of Judah to teach the people about the law of the Lord. Okay? Don't go away, guys, because when you come back, we're going to continue to unpack this unbelievable story out of 1 Kings 22 and talk to you about how you can fight the battle with God on your side.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. He's telling the story of Jan Hus today. This was a guy that got burned alive for refusing to back down from biblical truth. That's the kind of conviction that I think most of us, especially young men today, can't even imagine. Compare that to what's happening right now in this generation. We have Christians, young men, who won't even admit that they're Christian on their social media profiles. They're more worried about getting canceled by their classmates than standing for Christ. And that's what Adam is talking about. He's asking where the conviction of the men like Jan Hus is. Where is that? And look, I know that's the purpose of this podcast, but I don't want to just single out young men, because I think that is indeed a problem for all of us, and something I would highly recommend, not just to young men, but for anyone looking to go back to school, is the Master's University, because they understand this courage crisis totally. Other colleges are teaching students to blend in and avoid the offense, but TMU is teaching young men to stand for truth even when it costs you something. Young men are learning that indeed some hills are worth dying on, literally if necessary. So if you're college-aged and you want education that builds conviction instead of just career prospects, check out masters.edu/manhood right now. And if you're not college-aged, but you're looking to go back to college, the Master's University is the place to start. Again, masters.edu/manhood to get the conversation started. And something else I want to point out to you real quick is Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded that yet on your phone or your TV, you're missing out. It's full of hundreds of hours, maybe even thousands of hours of content that will help you understand biblical courage and masculinity, spiritual warfare, theology, all designed to build young men and women who won't compromise when the pressure comes. And we're adding new content every single day. Check it out. It's absolutely free. That's right, free. Won't cost you anything to download or to consume the content available there ever. We don't hide it behind a paywall. We don't charge you anything. Go see what I'm talking about right now by going to wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply going to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right, guys, thanks for following Way of Manhood. Welcome back. And if you do follow the show, make sure you leave a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who needs encouragement in this area. We're talking about fighting the battle with God on your side. Now, I've just been reviewing, just before the break, these three kings. You had King Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria or Aram. Then you have King Ahab, who's the king of Israel. Those are the northern 10 tribes. And now we just started talking about the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, okay? And though Jehoshaphat's reign is viewed favorably, he was far from perfect. He also had made an alliance with Ahab by marriage of his daughter, giving his son, actually, to marry Ahab's daughter. So there's a lot going on here, but here's what I'm trying to say to you. He did this, King Jehoshaphat did this in order to help fortify some more land during a time of peace. But he had made an alliance with the enemy. Ahab was an enemy, and for this he would pay. And so this is all going on right here in the first four verses of 1 Kings 22. And this is where we see that because of Jehoshaphat's connection with Ahab through marriage, he was obligated to join Ahab, the king of Israel, in his vengeance on Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, who never gave him some of the cities that he had promised, one of them being Ramoth-Gilead. So let's just kind of boil down the principle, okay? Our first principle, again, is clear, just simply saying, do not make an alliance with the enemy. In this show and in the shows to come, you're going to see how this alliance falls apart. And Jehoshaphat really had no business making an alliance with evil King Ahab. Jehoshaphat and Ahab are like the collab that no one asked for. Jehoshaphat was like that wholesome YouTuber who accidentally does a collab with the most problematic influencer, Ahab. Next thing he knows, he's part of a drama video and almost gets canceled, literally. So what's the moral? Just because someone has a lot of followers doesn't mean you should do a TikTok dance with them. And it's like when your friend says, let's partner up on this group project. And you say yes at first, and then you realize that they haven't done any of their homework all year. Now you're stuck doing all the work and risking your grade. Yikes. So just because it looks strategic doesn't mean it's spiritual. Jehoshaphat's kingdom and Ahab's kingdom were both facing threats. From a strategic standpoint, joining forces made sense. I mean, if they join together, they'll have more soldiers, they'll have more resources, they'll have more influences. But from a spiritual standpoint, this was a compromise. You got to remember, guys, some partnerships look wise from the world's perspective, but are foolish from God's point of view. That business deal that seems profitable, but compromises your integrity, that friendship that's fun, but slowly pulls your heart away from holiness, that dating relationship that feels right, but doesn't share your faith. These are all big problems for young men in today's world. They're making alliances with the enemy. Don't get cuffed to someone who's allergic to conviction. And all humor aside, Jehoshaphat's alliance reminds us that not everyone walking in your direction is walking in your same desire to truly honor God. So before we move on, I just want to give you three New Testament principles about not making an alliance with the enemy. This is clearly illustrated in 1 Kings 22, 1 through 4 in the rest of the chapter, but the New Testament has a lot to say about not making an alliance with the enemy. Let me give you three principles again about not making an alliance with the enemy. Number one, do not love the world. This couldn't be more clear in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, it seems like to me, from what we've been reading from 1 Kings 22, that Jehoshaphat and Ahab demonstrated a little bit of the love of the world. You know, they wanted that security. They wanted to even compromise a little bit if they needed to in order to comfort their own security, their own protection for what they were doing for their own benefit. And how about you today? Are you willing to stretch things just a little in order to feel comfortable? Are you so caught up in worldly protection that you forget that it's Almighty God who truly watches over you? I mean, Jehoshaphat and Ahab were so worried about missing out. I mean, they had a bad case of FOMO, and it was about safety and alliances. That's what they were afraid of missing out on, safety and alliances, that they forgot that God had already promised to protect them as long as they obeyed his word. Jehoshaphat and Ahab both showed a little love of the world. They wanted security, success, and safety without fully trusting in God. So what do? They compromised just a little, thinking, hey, this alliance will help us sleep better at night. But compromise for comfort always costs conviction. How about you, young man? Are you stretching your values just a little to stay comfortable? Are you chasing worldly protection instead of divine direction? I mean, they were so caught up in FOMO, the fear of missing out on safety and control, that they forgot who actually controls everything. I mean, imagine skipping your grandma's homemade dinner for a microwave meal because it's faster, only to realize you missed out on the good stuff. And that's what the world does. It gives you fast food when God has a feast waiting for you. The second principle I think we could learn from the New Testament would be this. Number two, do not be bound together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Ahab, who only claimed to believe, bound himself to Ben-Hadad in false assurance. Jehoshaphat, who truly believed, then bound himself to Ahab through marriage ties and political pressure. And in both cases, they linked up with people who didn't love God, and it dragged them into battles that they were never meant to fight. Jehoshaphat, who was a believer, bound himself with Ahab through marriage, which obligated him to go to battle with Ahab. It's like God telling you, don't swipe right on that someone who's just going to ghost you or steal your Netflix password. I mean, Jehoshaphat ignored the red flags and ended up in a situationship that nearly got him deleted. Are you bound together with unbelievers in a way that would make you compromise this principle in dating or in marriage or in business? It's like if you join a group chat with people who don't vibe your values, and suddenly you're getting dragged into drama that you never signed up for. Lesson learned, choose your squad wisely. And that brings us to our third principle about not making an alliance with the enemy. You also got to remember, young man, do not take revenge. Even if you are in a situation like this, you can't take revenge because Romans 12, 19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And Ahab was not patient in the Lord dealing with Ben-Hadad. Instead, he wanted to take matters into his own hands and to go against the clear counsel of the Lord in doing so. I mean, are you ever impatient and want to take revenge on that person at home or at work or maybe someone in your family? I mean, maybe one of your siblings eats all of your snacks and you're tempted to hide their phone charger. But then you remember that your mom sees everything and her punishments are way worse than anything you could plan. What we're talking about here is that revenge for Ahab, it cost him his life. Don't let it take yours. Maybe you're not chasing kings and armies, but you might be chasing payback. Someone at home hurt you. Someone at work or at school, they wronged you. They embarrassed you, and now you want to get even. And that's exactly how Ahab felt, and it destroyed him. And if you want to stand firm in the midst of adversity, do not make an alliance with the enemy. Jehoshaphat almost lost his life because of one bad alliance. He learned that the wrong partnership can pull you out of God's purpose. So here's the call. Do not love the world. Love God more. Don't be bound with unbelievers, but walk in the light. And don't take revenge. Trust God to defend you. I mean, if you want to stand firm in adversity, don't make alliances with the enemy. Stand firm for God's truth. Avoid the bad collabs and let God handle the rest. Because you're not here for clout. You're here to go viral for the right reasons. Hashtag stand firm. Hashtag God's squad. I mean, if you want a modern day Jehoshaphat and Ahab story, look no further than the AOL Time Warner merger back in 2000. Most of you probably don't remember, but back then AOL was the biggest name in dial-up internet. Remember that You've Got Mail era? And Time Warner was a media giant. They had CNN, Warner Brothers, and HBO. And everyone thought this is the dream team, the future of media and the internet together. Except it was a disaster. They spent $350 billion joining forces only to realize that they had nothing in common. AOL's old school internet collided with Time Warner's traditional media, and instead of synergy, they got chaos. Their dream partnership became one of the biggest business flops in history. Within a few years, they lost nearly all their value. The alliance was supposed to change the world. Instead, it nearly destroyed both companies. And that's what happens when you team up with the wrong partner. What looks like power and profit can end up being confusion and loss. Jehoshaphat and Ahab's alliance looked strategic, but spiritually, it was AOL plus Time Warner all over again. So before you form a partnership, whether in friendship, dating, or decision-making, ask, am I aligning with God's purpose or just chasing worldly potential? Because the wrong alliance won't just slow you down, it'll sink you into the ground. Well, let me pray for you today that God would give you wisdom of how to fight the right battle with Him on your side. God, we're grateful for the opportunity to open up this new series as we look at 1 Kings chapter 22. Help us to learn the lessons that you want us to learn so that we can live out a fight for you and a desire to walk in obedience in all areas of our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.